forever, O Lord. Your word is settled in heaven. You are to be feared and served. We are only here for a while, and then we go. But your throne is forever and ever, and the scepter of your kingdom is the right one. We worship you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege to gather. Of all the billions you have made, you have chosen us to know Jesus. Father, not because we are special in any way in of ourselves, but your grace makes all the difference. And we thank you for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Once again, I also would like to welcome you, Pastor Joseph. And I also like to explain why my sister called you brother. It's just not in our tradition in New Covenant Church to address one another by our titles. But we defer to whatever preferred title you have. So please, everybody, remember to address. We thank God for his anointing in your life. We do not by any means disrespect that. But we just follow, as we refer to our Lord Jesus Christ by name, we follow his example by tampering down our titles and living in the anointing that he has given to us. Our brother, our pastor, Brother Bumi, who's just here, he's also a reverend, but if you notice, we call him Brother Bumi, just like the apostles refer to one another by name. But welcome. We love to, as you fellowship with us, we'll get used to it. So please don't be offended if we miss out once in a while on that. Praise the Lord. I was saying to Sister Kemi that throughout the week I had, you know, it's like a twin. You have two of them in your womb and they're struggling. And I, throughout yesterday and the week, I was asking, Lord, what would you rather we heard in church this morning? And I prayed last night, prayed throughout the week, and I had two separate, thank you, Sister Buki. And until a few minutes ago, I really wasn't sure which one of the two. I know at some point the Lord will want his church to hear both of these messages. I got a text that mentioned one of those messages out of the blues, and then Sister Kemi decided to exhort from the book of Job. And so it was confirmed just a few minutes ago what I think the Lord will like us to hear. And I pray that he will grant to us, to me, the grace to pass his message across, and to his people the grace to receive it and to use it in the way that he wants. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We as Christians have no greater hope than the word of God. The Bible says that the righteous will live not by what they see, but by faith, the evidence of things hoped for. That substance of the things that we do not see. And I pray that as the word of Lord goes forth today, we will learn whatever it is that God has intended for his church to learn. I will implore all of us to take seriously the word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Jesus has said to us that by the keeping of his word is his servant warned. The word of God is our bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So I just like to, there are a few things that I like to point out from the book of Job and whatever it is that the Holy Spirit will want to minister. So please open your Bibles quickly to the book of Job chapter 1. By the way, good morning, everybody. I think I started off a little bit. Good morning. And this story, I was saying to my daughters that this story reads like a fairy tale. It's one of the sweetest stories, or the sweetest books at the beginning. It opens in a fantastic way. It's a once upon a time story. When you read it, you know you're about, actually, it reads so much like a fairy tale. In Bible history, people have wondered whether it is actually a true story or not. But it is a true story. And in Bible history, people can't really place where in the history of the Bible you will place Job. When did Job really happen? Is it during the time of Moses? Or is it during between Malachi and... Even the name of the town sounds like the Wizard of Oz. It looks like something that a perfect storyteller would make up. Yet the book of Job is one of the most profound books in the Bible. It's also one of the books that we do not like to read the most. Unfortunately, the book of Job is the book that gels most with the reality of the Christian walk. Actually, the life of Job in the Bible, as a man personally, most symbolizes the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because as a church, not I don't mean New Covenant Church, but I mean as a church worldwide, we have most of the time ignored this book. There are elements of hope, nuggets of strength that God has hidden in Job that many Christians going through tough times are not able to use because we deny Job. But when you look at Job and his life, and we're going to look at a few, you'll be able to identify with certain things in his behavior, in his response, in the things that happened to him, certain things in your life. In your Christian walk, we begin to make sense. We have been taught as Christians to pray Job away. But we cannot run away from Job. Karen, can you run away from Job? You read about David a lot. And you see the fantastic Psalms of David and his songs. And you say to yourself, today, I don't really feel like making a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then you turn to the agonies of Job and you go, that's exactly the same way. It's the way I feel. But it starts in chapter 1 by saying, there was a man in the land of Uz, or us, whose name was Job. And this is awesome, because the Bible categorically tells us that this man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. It's as if the Bible wanted us to know clearly the kind of man that Job was, so that there will be no questions. There are probably three other characters in the Bible that God would bother to use such appellations to describe. You are talking about blame. He was blameless. Is it a fear of God that he did not have? He feared the Lord. Job was everything that you and I aspire to be in Christ. He deliberately shunned evil. Then the Bible says in verse 2, this man had sons and daughters, 7 and 3. Perfect 10. Sister Success, how many sons and daughters do you have? He had it. Talking about children, he was blessed. This man had possessions, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, which I guess may mean 1,000 oxen, right? A yoke would hang two, right? So if he had at least 1,000 oxen. And I was thinking, what would this be? And sorry for those of you who do not know Nigeria. Unfortunately, I don't know the biggest farm, you know, but we know this Obasanjo farm. The man was president, and he had a farm, and he's had it for the longest. I understand it's huge. But you don't know Obasanjo farm, you can't relate. So Job's farm was probably as big as BVI. How about that? Because imagine, BVI, how big is BVI, right? Laurel. How about Laurel? There. Job's farm was huge. How do you keep and feed and graze 1,000 sheep? Oxen. This man was rich. And his family had peace. Some of you have not seen your siblings in a long time. All his children got together. They had periodic feasts. We get together in Femi's house this Sunday. And next Sunday it will be in Tunde's house. And the next Sunday it will be in Peter's house. They were together. They had feasts constantly. Isn't that what we pray for our children, or our parents pray for us? Don't leave yourself so. You say, how much money do you want? No, I don't want any money. Just don't leave yourselves. Runke, don't forget your brothers and sisters. Brother. Just one son safe. You know? Every time I call my parents, they say, are you hearing from your siblings, the two ladies at the end of the row? I'm like, he had it. He had a happy, coordinated family. And that you know how much easier life is when you're together with your siblings. That was Job. He was the greatest of all the people in the East. This Job man was perfect. Verse 5. So it was when the days of feasting run their course that Job would send and sanctify his children. He would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. Job did this regularly. The man was so in tune with God, he prayed against the prayer that his sons and daughters may have committed. I mean, what else do you want from a man? I mean, our kids are going out in the morning and I go, oh, I haven't prayed with you. Come, come, come. You lay your hands on there quickly. May the Lord go with you. All right, the Lord be with you. This man made sacrifices for each of them. So that was Job. Who wants to be like Job? I dare say Job is the person behaviorally all of us are aspiring in the power of the Holy Spirit to be perfect in our homes, to have all the blessings of the Lord, to be described by God as being perfect. That's what most of us want. We're all familiar with the story. There are a few verses I'll pick up, but let's read it. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him and around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has. Verse 11. He will surely curse you to your face. Wonders upon wonders. Wonders upon wonders. Can someone please read out verse 12?
And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord.
All of this discussion took place without Job knowing it. Do you know what discussion is taking place regarding you today at this moment? God is sovereign. All of this, the things happening to you, if indeed we're hidden in the hollows of God's hands, everything happening to you, he's in control of it. Only we do not know. The Lord was having a meeting, and Satan, as usual, found his way there. And the Lord said, hey, have you seen this man? He's doing my will. I'm really pleased with him. Said, of course you're pleased with him. Don't you know them? As long as they have homes, they have farms, their children are doing well, of course they will love you. Religion is working perfectly for them. Of course they will love you. Touch them. Touch him. And he will curse you to your face. It would have been a little better if Job knew he was being tested. He didn't. Do you know that there are negotiations going on regarding your life that you are not party to? Because you are not your own. You are created for a purpose, for his pleasure. But thanks be to God that the negotiator, the chief negotiator, is on our side. You know, we Christians act, and I think it might be because of how we have been taught, as though we're in control of everything. We always want to know the reason, get an explanation for everything. But this story teaches me there are just negotiations regarding you that you don't even have a chance to pray about. Shebi, it is the... Shebi means... Shebi... Isn't it the danger that you know about that you can pray against? If there's a prophecy that says on 495 there will be 6 accidents and one of them will involve a black car, SUV, then I will pray in the morning. But supposing you receive no prophecy about it, see the amount of grace and danger that the Lord prevents us from that we did not even know about. This man's entire security, his assets, his life was being negotiated and he did not know it. But he's lucky because the the person, like that song we sing, who has the final say? The person with the final say is on his side. I just want to submit to you, brethren, that whether we like it or not, and I think if experience hasn't taught us, we should know clearly from this word that things happening to you are beyond you. Yes, mommy. But there's great hope. There's great hope. Don't be confused any longer. Do not any longer be amazed. It is not in a man to determine his own path. What peace, what security, what hope does it give to you to know that God is in control? Let's go on with Job. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house. A messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen are plowing and the donkeys feeding." You know when you have bad news and you don't know how to break it? That was how, actually, I was just coming. May you never receive a message of doom in Jesus' name. Amen. 15. When the Sabians raided them and took them away, indeed they have killed the servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. All servants are gone. While he was still speaking on the same day, brethren, another also came and said, "The fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I alone have escaped to tell you." He was still speaking. The Chaldeans formed three bands, raided the camels. I don't know why Job needed to know the details. Took them away, yes, and killed the servant with the edge of the sword. I alone escaped. He was still speaking. Verse 18. "Your sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind came from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house, and it fell on the young people, and they are dead. I alone have escaped to tell you." You must never forget that this man was a righteous man. You know, what I've noticed, and it's just human nature, is when you see disaster, because we are afraid, Job said it in one of his responses, by the way, we always want an explanation. It must be the sin that he has committed. It must be this. And this man died. Oh, he probably wasn't watching his blood pressure. You know how many people are living with high blood pressure to good old age? You know how many people are living with tumors and they did not discover until their autopsy after they died? We must, it gives us comfort to, because we think, we refuse to remember that this world is born to corruption naturally, but for the grace of God. But Jesus gives to us hope. Jesus gives to us hope. Please say amen.
Amen.
This is why we're different as Christians. When Christ left the earth, he did not take away all the corruption. The same sicknesses that were before Christ continued after Christ. The same ground that refused to grow until you till it, refused to grow until you tilled it after Christ. But he gave hope in the midst of corruption. In one day, and Job said, 21, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Tell me how more righteous a man could be. Now, before we leave the chapter, this is just what I want to point out. That please don't let tough times separate you from the Lord. There's a scripture, I think, Peter writing saying, "Do not count it strange when you fall into diverse temptations. It's merely the testing of your faith. Retain your hope and believe in the Lord." Do not let your Christian walk flow or ebb based on how well life serves you. Be the same person. Do not lose your eternal hope because of the present afflictions. The Bible calls it momentary and light afflictions, which we bring a greater weight of glory. This is the difference between us Christians, I mean today's Christians, and our fathers in the faith. They seem to embrace suffering. They are determined in their heart that nothing will separate them from the love of God. They had made heaven their destiny, and they counted as dung all things. May our faith be heavenly bound. I pray that Satan will not be able to touch us. Whether we like it or not, challenging times will come. It's not a, you know, all this theology, this preaching, these confessions. I don't know, some people have confessed. Has it excused them from the normal trouble that afflicts men? They tell you to confess. All the confession in January, did it save you from flu? That's the reality. All of the Lord's Prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, did he deliver the Lord from the cross? Because it's been appointed unto him to die for the salvation of the world. What has been appointed unto you will come to pass, but your spirit will not break in Jesus' name. Amen. The joy of the Lord will be our strength in Jesus' name. This is the faith, brethren, that I think we should pursue. Don't live in fear. The Bible says fear brings torment, but the perfect love of God casts out fear. Say, I know, Job said it, I know my Redeemer liveth. I'd like us to close soon. So, I'm going to summarize the next few chapters because I think we should learn stuff. So he did his worst. This was like waking up and discovering that Lehman Brothers has crashed and your total retirement asset that you thought was $1.2 million is now down to $60,000 and you are age 63. There's no time to recover. Can you imagine how you feel? Or you are a logger, or what do they call them? Those people that own trailers. Right? And your entire savings, you are retired. You pulled out your savings and you bought two trailers. I remember the bridge that fell down. Is it Route 80 in Atlanta? Your two trailers were on that bridge and they fell down. And guess what? Your insurance just expired yesterday. Brawale is morbid. These things happen to people.
Yes.
Try living in Nigeria where there's no insurance. Or if there is, well, good luck. Huh? And they pay. There is insurance, they pay. Okay. Thank God. And that it doesn't work as smoothly as it could. I have a relative whose business was set on fire, and the panic. The whole neighborhood had to come out with water and bucket, because if that factory had burned down, that would have been. So what Job experienced, I don't even want to. What I'm saying is actually lighter than what this man experienced. Yes. People, did you not hear the story of the dear family that came from the U.S. to Nigeria, and the entire family was in the plane, and they had a plane crash, and the whole family perished? These things happen. How about your mudslide? How many people would have? There are people in the U.S. hearing on that day that entire set, extended family had perished. These things happen. And say, Lord, where were you? We cannot hide. Do not be afraid. Why did God put the book of Job in the Bible, brethren? Why? What does God want us to learn? We have refused to look at it for so long out of fear. But our realities, the lives we're living, is showing how we must pay attention to it and prepare ourselves and be bold so that what happens to our outer flesh will not affect our spirit. So that wasn't enough in chapter 2. Again, there was a day when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, Satan also among them, to present himself before the Lord. The Lord said to them, where have you been? And again, he's going to and fro. Satan is right outside. I know mommy, myself, Sister Shade, banned Satan from this territory. That is why Satan is not inside here. Did we not, mommy? Did we not, mommy? You are not answering me now. We said, Lord, this, we claim this territory. The children of God and light are here in our early morning prayer. Stay outside. But he's there. And because we dare to bind him, he's there with several demons. Like Jesus said, if you sweep a house clean, I know the Lord was talking about our hearts, then he will go and get more wicked. He's waiting. He's going to and fro. Two, he's busy. He eats, he's busy. Then the Lord said, you said I should touch his possession. Have you not seen my servant Job? In spite of everything, this is verse 3, you told me to do, he still has not caused me. He said, yes, of course he will not curse you. Everybody knows that a man can give away his possession but touch his skin. Make him sick, he will curse you to your face. What will make you curse God? What will make you curse God? Brethren, some of us, we curse God for a car. Oh, I have a flat tire. Oh, the Lord is no longer with me. How can I be a Christian and my children are like this? Oh! May the Lord increase our strength. Jesus is our rock. At times we don't know. May we never be tempted beyond that which we can bear in Jesus' name. And that also is the love of God. Our time is far spent. Anyway, I'll fast forward. The Lord said to him, okay, go touch his skin. So he had boil from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. It was so bad that he had to go and break a pot, and the pot sheared. He will use to scratch his body. This was the richest man in Ur, in the entire, not Ur. He was like the sheikh of the East. He became a beggar. He became someone that would use. I want you to picture that. You've never seen a sight like that before. Trust me. This was the most righteous man on earth, at least in the East. Job had three friends, as we close. And of course, you know the kind of people that Job's friends will be. They will be distinguished men, his fellow intellectuals. Job had a farm. They probably had a poultry farm as well. There'll be people like him, important men. And they heard about what happened to their friend, so they came in chapter 2. And when they entered, they saw Job. They were stunned. they did not talk for 7 days. You know how hard it is to keep quiet for 7 days? And neither did Job. Brethren, learn a lesson. We Christians, we love to explain things. When you go to a house of mourning, hold your tongue. At times you heap grief upon the person when you are quick to speak. If you do not understand, keep quiet. I mean, we mean well. We start citing scriptures. Trust me, the person knows the scripture you are citing already. After all, you all learn it from the same church. At that moment in time, just being there is fine. You don't have to explain. You don't have to take the person's troubles away. You cannot. When you see a sister or a brother going through affliction, be humble. Let the Holy Ghost do the call. Unless, of course, you are inspired of the Lord to speak. If they need water, get them water to drink. If they need someone to run to the store, run to the store for them. But please, by all means, don't preach. These were wise men. As you begin to see what they said, you know, these are probably the most learned men in the East. Wise. For 7 days, and they did not talk until Job spoke. Then Job in chapter 3 began to speak. And because... at times you go and visit someone and you're talking and they're not talking. They're not saying anything. They just, yeah, okay, thank you, thank you. They know you don't understand. But when they kept quiet for 7 days, Job finally felt, these are my friends. These are the people that know exactly how I feel. These are the people with whom I can share my confidence. For 7 days they have suffered with me. Then he began to groan. To say things out that you can only say to a friend, that you can only say to your maker. So in chapter 3, you will find Job groaning and saying, and cursing the day he was born. After this, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day he was born. He said, may the day perish on which I was born, and the night in which it was said a male child is conceived. May the day be darkness. May God above not seek it, nor the light shine upon it. May darkness. The man had been groaning within. Now he thought he was amidst friends. He began to groan without. There's a lesson for us Christians. Please let the mourners mourn. Don't say don't cry. They must cry. Because it's appointed. There's time and season for all things. There's a time to cry and a time to laugh. Let's not rob them. When you see someone at their worst, their most persecuted, it's not a reflection of their normal self. It is what the season has brought upon them. Let them cry. Be a friend. Listen. It's not the time to roll out scriptures. Let them say it. Listen with understanding, especially if you've never experienced what they are going through. Job had perfect friends until this moment. But before we go to chapter 4 and close, in verse 25 and 26, the Bible says, Job said, for the thing I greatly feared has come upon me. What I dreaded had happened to me. I'm not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest. For trouble comes. Just describing his situation. The preachers in our days have pounced on this. You know, the foolishness of trying to explain everything, even the things that are known only in the assembly of the sons of God and God himself, that he hasn't shared with men. So I've had several preachers say about this, but oh, finally, this was why Job went through the trouble, because he was afraid. Oh, come off it. The man was afraid. Which one of you going through that will not be afraid? The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he cried to God, and it was hard because he feared. No, it did not happen to him because he was afraid. It's happened to him because God and Satan wanted, God wanted to use him to teach Satan a lesson. It wasn't his choice. You are not going to see any reason as to why Job was experiencing this beyond that which the Bible already plainly explained. Satan went and said, "Let me try him." And God said, "Go and try him." We don't have to evince any other hidden missing reason. So when you hear someone say it's because of fear, that's out of context. That's just point out that that's not what the book of Job says. God exposed to. Exactly. Yes, like we read in chapter 1. And Job did not even know. Yes.
Sacrifices and all of that.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. That's what
right. So it's not. Me. It's not that he feared that. Well, his fear was more related to his actions throughout his life, in terms of how he prayed over his children, and just making sure that things are put in place. And likewise, just some of the examples that you gave in terms of, you know, that what would happen would happen. But that it doesn't necessarily mean that we shouldn't guard ourselves with, obviously, with God's help. So, because I mean, say for example, I also believe that God has created things for us to, or avenues for us to go through, so that that way certain things can also be revealed unto us and things can be prevented. And it's the same way also that you can have things still happen. It's the same God, essentially.
Okay. And that is true. That is very true. Except that what, when people read this, and you're right, the analysis, especially the part of chapter 1 where it says he made sacrifices for his son in case. But when this is taught, it's taught like Job lived in fear of tragedy. And because he lived in the fear of tragedy, so tragedy came to him. When you read from chapter 1, the most important question we need to ask is, why did what happened to Job happen to Job? I'm going to ask a very simple question. From your understanding of this narrative, why did what happened to Job happen to Job? Very briefly, so that we can cover this.
Probably you'll get to it at part 2, but I think the answer is in the end of Job, where God says, "I will have mercy upon whom I wish." This happened simply because God said it.
I think we already have the answer from chapter 1.
I said we all of us pray, we have insurance, we do certain things. You know, they didn't have the liberty of some of the things that we have in this day and age. All of us do what Job does. He has not prevented calamity from happening to... Every one of us has been touched by something close to what happened to Job. All our prayers did not stop it simply because God said it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Our lesson is we stay with Christ regardless of it. I think that's what God is trying to teach us in Job.
Once again, one way, because we like to go on with the sermon. Why did what happened to Job happen to Job from the book of Job? What? One moment, please. Let's be in, we're in the presence of the Lord. Let's be in order. Why? Because I want us to understand this before we move on. Why did what happened to Job happen to Job? Don't let's assume. Don't let's extrapolate. What does the book of Job tell us? Which verse? Can someone read it out so that it will be clear?
Job chapter 1, verse 8.
Can you read it?
Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant, Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, a man who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing?"
Okay. So why did what happened to Job happen to Job? God allowed it. What did what happened to Job happen to Job because he feared?
No.
That's the only question that's what we're addressing in the sermon. Because people teach that Job did something wrong, that he lived in fear, and that is why calamity came. It is very important for us to know that good things happen to righteous people. That's what I want you to know. Because you're going to point an accusing hand on the righteous. When the Lord Jesus was dying on the cross, brothers, the mockers looked at him. See, when the apostles were being killed by the emperors, their enemies looked at them and mocked them. I pray you will never mock a Christian by accident. In our Pentecostal preaching, we reject this because there's an arrogant assumption that for a Christian, only good things happen to you. I just want us to know clearly. So are we. Yeah, I agree. Okay, when some Pentecostals preach, they make this assumption. Bishop Joseph, now you see why we're different. I can imagine in most places, yeah, exactly. I can imagine that in most places, you are not allowed to interrupt when someone is preaching, right? I'm just underlining to you that don't be angry when we say Brother Joseph, because you see that we are very unusual people. It's not, I really like what you're doing. That's what we do. We like to interject, and I like the fact that you're doing. I just want you to see that we are so different. That's why we call ourselves brothers as well. But just to round up the sermon really quickly, good things happen to, bad things happen to good people. Don't believe anyone that tells you that because life is hard for you, it's because of one thing that is necessarily, because at times it is, that it's necessarily because of one bad thing or the other that you did. When we face this, anytime we have very tough times, we'll be able to face it with courage. We will know that it's not that God is our enemy. Many people have been tricked into believing that because their life is not the way they plan, that God is fighting them. It is very important to understand the experience of Job so that you can know that for the best of people, unusual things happen to them. And when we see these unusual things, we encourage them. Our time is spent, but there are a few things that I think we still need to cover. So in chapter 3, Job begins to groan. Then Eliphaz, one of Job's friends, begins to talk. Our time is far spent, so I'm just going to read some verses. Verse 5. From verse 1 to 6, he basically makes the case that you call yourself a wise man and a Christian. You have been the one going to people's house to encourage them. And now this has come upon you and you are afraid. That's the summary of what he was saying. Are you not a Christian? Have faith. Isn't this what you preach? Come on, have faith. Then he made his case in verse 7. He spoke in chapters 4 and 5. In verse 7, he said, remember now, whoever perishes being innocent, or where were the upright ever cut off? He was making a case that Job, you are being punished. It must be that you have committed a sin. That is the entire submission of Eliphaz. That the righteous can never, it must be that you don't have faith. If you had faith, your car will not have an accident. So it has never been known to a good God. And when people come and accuse you, they cite scriptures. They say, look at you, you must not be righteous. If this thing happened to you, it must be that you're unrighteous. That is the entire thesis of Eliphaz. Then he went in chapter 5, verse 7. He said, happy is the man whom God corrects. He's essentially saying that this is a punishment for your sin. Why don't you just humble yourself? Chapters 4 and 5, that was the thesis of Eliphaz when he spoke. He saw Job groaning, and it was the groaning of a man in pain. It was, my Lord, why have you forsaken me? And he said, how dare you groan? We all know that God is righteous. No evil comes from him. Have you ever seen an innocent man perish? I'm going to close now. People of God, let's not debate over little things. Let's just learn. The Bible is bigger than all of us. We can have the whole Bible in our heads. Unless we have the Spirit of God in our heart, it means nothing. And for not paying attention to simple things in scriptures, we miss out on great consolations in the Spirit. Because the Bible says that man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Let us be meek. Chapter 6. Job began to speak, and Job was a man of God. I commend to you all of the thesis of Job in the book of Job. Read it very deeply. It will be useful for you. When his friend complained, I'm going to start from verse 5. He said, does a wild donkey bray when it has grass? Does the ox low over its fodder? Can flavorless food be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? My soul refuses to touch them. They are as loathsome food to me. Oh, that I might have my request, that God will grant me the things that I long for, that it will please the Lord to crush me, that he will loose his hand and cut me off. Then I will still have comfort. Though in anguish I should exult, he will not spare. For I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. I'm going to tell you quickly what the submission of Job is here. Saying, you're accusing me of complaining. Have you ever seen a well-fed ox complain? What is tasty in the white of an egg? If I were not suffering, will I be groaning? Why do you blame an afflicted person for expressing groaning? Why do you chastise a man that is down for expressing his pain to his maker? And you call yourself friends. Why do you exult in me? Can't you see? Which one of you, these things, going through these things, will not grow like me? That's what Job is saying. Have you ever seen a wild ox or a donkey bray when the stable is full of hay and the donkey is happy? No, they are content. Then in verse 14, he leaves us a lesson. He says, to him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friends. Even if he has forsaken the Almighty, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty, say, you, my brothers, you have dealt deceitfully with me like a brook, like the streams of the brooks that pass away. To a man, a Christian who is afflicted, kindness must be shown. Even if you think he has been in sin or she, your job is not to pass judgment or to preach a sermon. Your job is to show compassion. This is not exactly a message of the cross and salvation and all the deep theologies, but the Bible is full of little relational lessons for all of us. And for lack of these relational lessons, we offend one another. We don't know how to show empathy. So I guess the teaching today is just to show us some lessons that God teaches us as a church about how we can relate in this particular circumstance. Kindness. When you see a man, even if the man is caught in adultery or the woman caught in fornication, your job is compassion and kindness. Especially when you call yourself a friend. Don't preach a sermon. God is the judge of all. And then Job revealed the heart of almost of like pastor, Bishop Joseph said, we should say, and thank you. We should qualify this because it's true. It's not all people. I tend to generalize a lot. Thank you for that correction. And Job revealed the heart of some Christians here in verse 21. Read it, brethren. Anybody that finds it. I think it's 21 down. Oh, we're sorry, chapter 6. We're in chapter 6. And if we search our hearts, not ours, some heart. Now Bishop Joseph has gotten me confused between some and okay. Let me just say some heart. Okay. Let's say, please, 21.
Okay. So Job 6:21. You too have proved to be of no help. You have seen my calamity and you are afraid. But why? Have I ever asked you for a gift?
Yes. Keep reading.
Have I begged you to use any of your wealth on my behalf? Have I ever asked you to rescue me from my enemies? Why have I asked you to save me from ruthless people? All I want is a reasonable answer. Then I will keep quiet.
Okay. Oh, please read 25.
Tell me what I have done wrong. Honest words are painful, but what do your criticisms amount to?
Thank you. Please remember verse 21 to 25. You can study it alone in private. Most of the time when we go and visit people who are in tragedy, the truth is actually we are afraid. That's why we're always looking for a reason. We don't know why. We must find an explanation. And Job is saying to his friends, I've not told you to take the troubles away. I know you cannot. All of your words, they are meaningless to me. He did not call them, I like the King James version in verse 25. He said, how forceful are right words? He said, yeah, they are right words. You're quoting scriptures, all right. Right? He says, but what does your arguing prove? Has it solved my problem? Is this the time I need to hear about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3? Does John 3:16, you think I don't know John 3:16? You don't think I don't know the righteous we live by? Those right words, what did they do to me at this hour? Look, just leave me, Jejeli. Just leave me. Let me groan before my God. He will hear me. May the Lord give us hearts of compassion in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Father, I pray that you continue to build your church by your word. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us pray.